2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Let's stand for you in God's word. Glad you're here today. By the way, our Sunday school was up around 20-some people today, the Sunday school alone. I think Tammy said 191, 194. Let me encourage you. Now, of course, during church time, Bobby, we have over 200-some people. We always run in the twos, probably, or mid-twos, low twos in church time. And I'm thankful for all the people. But let me encourage you to come to Sunday school if you can at 9:30. I've let my two preacher associate pastors teach Sunday school to give them an outlet to do things. Robert teaches right here. He does phenomenal. Robert is an outstanding teacher. And all his preaching, by the way, is on the all his Sunday schools are taped because he's in the auditorium, which can be taped. That's all on the website every Sunday. You'll see his comes up. And then, of course, Brother David's in the back of the building. And both those guys are dynamic teachers. Then I've got great teachers all the way down, from teens all the way to the nursery. And so we've got Sunday school classes for every age. I don't care what age group you fit into. We've got it for you. And I've got dynamic teachers in every class. From the top to the bottom, to the bottom to the top, we've got just great teachers. Last week, two children trusted Christ as their Savior in D. Cottrell's class. And so we're excited about that. Alrighty, 2 Timothy chapter. It's still too loud. I'm hearing a hummer. Turn it down, please, on this main mic in front of me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This morning, here's the title. I want to preach on you. The book. The book. I'm going to, and during the month of May, and this course, I know it's the last day of April, we're going to be preaching on the theme of our church. How for 50 years we've been preaching. We've been preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And so I'm going to focus on some messages on those themes. And of course, Mother's Day, May 14th, we'll preach on Mother's Day and how to be a blessing to your mother-in-law. Eddie Wilson needs to hear that one. Amen. And so, Junior. And so, all righty. Notice today, I'm glad you're here. Verse 16, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. How much of the Scripture? All of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That Bible, if it's a King James Bible you got in your hand, it's God-breathed. God's Word is God-breathed. It's breathed from God to man. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this Bible you got in your hand, this book called the Holy Bible, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, we thank you for the precious Bible that you've given to us. We call it the book. We stand on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And Father, I thank you that we can stand there and proclaim the precious book before these dear folk today. And thank you for 50 years, Bethel Baptist Church has been proclaiming the gospel through the book. We pray that you'll bless us today now. As we look into your book, your Holy Bible, we ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This year, our church is celebrating its 50th anniversary. We've been making a big hoopty-doo about it. We'll still be doing more things in the future. We're celebrating that for 50 years. 50 years is a half a century. That's pretty old. Bethel Baptist Church has been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world for 50 years. Think about it. Pretty exciting. For 50 years, as this banner above me says, preaching the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Hallelujah. I thank God for the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Can anyone say amen? And I decided for the next few weeks, I'm going to preach on the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. And we'll work in Mother's Day in between there. And how to even work along with your mother-in-law, because that's very important. Amen. By the way, my mother-in-law is in heaven, but I loved her like she's my own mother. She was one of the greatest ladies I've ever known. Thank God for our mother-in-laws. Amen. They gave you your wife. And can anyone say amen? Some of you are saying, oh, me. Listen, I'm looking forward to our big day of celebration. 50 years, July 9th, 2006. 50 years, and Annie, on that big day, we're going to have a huge cake. We're going to have candles on it. It's going to say 50, and we're going to blow the candles out. Listen, it's our anniversary. We're going to have a big day. And everybody likes cake, and hot dogs, and hamburgers, and amen. We're going to do a lot of celebrating out in the land that day. And part of it's going to be dessert. Will be our 50th anniversary cake. Oh, yes. We're having a huge 50th anniversary cake. So you can count on the calories that day. Brother Randy King was telling me, and I said, I want you to stay a few days. Come in early, stay a few days later. And I said, I want to take you up to Hartfield Kitchen on a Monday after the anniversary. He said, oh, preacher, those pies there are phenomenal. I said, they are. And we're each going to have one too. Amen. And so he's looking forward, he and his wife, to come. Listen, I believe God has blessed Bethel Baptist Church because for 50 years, this church has carried out the Great Commission of Matthew 28:18-20, where Jesus said, go ye therefore unto all nations, preaching the gospel and teaching and baptizing. We've done that. We support 105 missionaries. Thousands of dollars go out every month to support the missions. As Brother Billy prayed, God, help us bring the money and to send out the word of God. And it's going to cost money to do this correlation, to put these Romans together. Listen, for 50 years, this church has been preaching the book. For 50 years, the book. 50 years, Tommy, the old book. Tommy Thursday, Tommy Saylor, 110 people. He was preaching this book. Tommy was preaching this book Thursday. He didn't want to stop, man. He just kept on preaching. That chicken was there, but Tommy just said, forget the chicken. I'm preaching the blood. Amen. Don't ever lose your heart, Tommy. I told Annie, I said, he loves preaching. Amen. For 50 years, you know, that's what America needs. They need to fall back in love with preaching again. Today I'm going to bring a message from the book, about the book, that Bethel's been preaching from for 50 years. Can anyone say amen? Thank God. Thank God for this precious book. It is precious. Thank God for this perfect book. It is perfect. Thank God for this pure words of Christ. They are pure. Can anyone say amen? I gave you a little fact sheet. How you got that? Now's the time to pull it out. You'll notice on your King James Bible fact sheet that you received today prior to the message, I gave you a few Bible stats, not all. But no, just notice, this book, this wonderful book that we have, Tommy, it's got 66 books in the Bible. 66 books. There's 1,189 chapters. 31,101 verses. 783,137 words. Letters, 3,566,480. That's a few letters, isn't it? Longest name, boy. I had a couple thoughts about this. Longest name, Mahalat Shalah Hashbaz. I got the last, like hash brown, hash. hash. Give me some hash browns. But by the way, you know who this was? This was Isaiah's son. It was the prophet Isaiah's son. And God actually gave that name, because I'll tell you why, Jackie. He said, put that name means, that name means this, that the spoils speeds, or in other words, the prey hasten. In other words, he said, Saul, it was a sign that that Samaria would be carried away before that child could talk. Before that child got old enough to talk, the Jewish people in Samaria would be carried away. And so he said, call your son. I thought also, how many like sports? Basketball, baseball. I thought about this, Levi. Hey, Josh, how would you like to have that name on a jersey? They'd have to make it like a horseshoe up around his neck, his back, and down his legs, man. He'd have to wear a full suit to get all those. By the way, there's 18 letters. I'll count them for you. There's 18 letters in that name. I don't mind Richard too much anymore. Some of you might not like your name. I'd like to have that name. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Notice also, the longest verse is in Esther. It's verse 8, chapter 8, verse 9. And we're not going to turn to it, but it talked about how God was going to bless the Jewish people with Mordecai. And then shortest verse, everyone knows this, John 11:35. Two words, Jesus wept. And we go to college and say, everyone has to pick out a Bible verse for next week. Everyone did John 11:35, Jesus wept. Was the second week that was the trouble, because they don't let you do one time. The middle of the book, Micah and Nahum, the middle verse of the Bible, Psalms 118, verse 8. And you know what? What I want you to do is don't lose Timothy, because I'm going to come right back to it. But I want you to look at Psalms 118. Psalms 118. We're talking about the book. We're talking about God's Bible. We're talking about the book that God gave you from heaven. The Holy Scriptures, the Holy Bible. The book. God's book. A book for all men. For all mankind forever. Look at Psalms 118 verse 8. It says, it's the middle verse. Look what the middle verse of the Bible. You think this Bible's not inspired? Look what the middle verse of the Bible says. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man would never write that. You know, and to have this, Brother Carey, to have it right smack dab in the middle. It is better to trust in the Lord. You know what? Can I give you something from the Scripture? God's saying from this book, it's better for you to trust in Him than what man can give you. Amen? By the way, do you know what the middle of the middle verse is? That same verse? It's got 14 letters. It's got 14 words in it. So if you're going to get the middle, if it had 15 words, you would go number 8, because there'd be 7 on each side. But to get the middle, you got to get the 2 words. You got to go 7 back and 7, so 7 forward. And so the middle is, Tommy, 2 words. The middle of the Bible is 2 words. The Lord. Can anyone say amen? You see, this book talks all about the Lord. It's His book. Can anyone say amen? And then, if you'll notice, the middle chapter of the Bible, is Psalms 117. By the way, there's only 2 verses in Psalms 117. And there's 33 words. Jesus was 33 years old when He died. And there's 33 words in the Bible. And by the way, 33, 3 plus 3 is 6. Six is the number of man. God made man on the sixth day. Jesus died on the cross for man. And he, by the way, Jesus was, they put Jesus on the cross at 9 a.m. And he died, and he was there till 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours for a man who was made on the sixth day of creation. Can anyone say amen? And so, the shortest chapter by number of words, Psalms 117. The longest book of all your books, Psalms has 150 chapters. The shortest book by number of words is 3 John, back of your Bible. The longest chapter, Psalms 119. Boy, you want to learn about the Bible. Psalms 119 tells a lot about the Word of God. 176 verses. One great verse in that scripture is 162. It says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Number of times the Word of God appears. Number of times the Word God appears. 3,358 times. The number of times the Word Lord appears. 7,736. Number of different authors, 40. Number of languages, and this is even more now, the number of languages the Bible has been translated into over 1,200 languages. And so I'm glad that God gave America the English in the English. Amen? So we could understand it. And so, because see, look up here. Your Bible was written in most of it, in the Old Testament was Hebrew and Aramaic, and then the New Testament was Greek. And it's all Greek to me, amen? And so, I'm a scholar of the Scripture. I know a little Greek. He said, you do? I said, yeah. He runs a donut shop right around the corner there. Yeah. And so, okay. So, hold on. And then there's more about that, but I just want to introduce you to it. How many glad you got a great Bible? Aren't you glad God gave us a book? Oh, this wonderful book called the Holy Bible. You know, God gave us a perfect Bible. Go back to 2 Timothy now, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I just want to share a few things with you. All Scripture, every word, all Scripture, every verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen, man did not write this Bible. God did. Oh, man wrote it down as God spoke to him. But man's not the author of the Bible. God's the author of the Bible. Listen, this Bible is what we call God breathed. God breathed on this. He spoke His Word, and His Word, He left His spoken Word for you and I to take and understand and receive into our hearts. Can anyone say amen? Let me just quote you 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, men just didn't sit down and write what they wanted to write. No. This Holy Bible, this book, God told these men that he'd sit down, and the Holy Spirit said, write that, like Rosie's my secretary. Rosie's the church secretary. I run up with the secretary every day, amen? That's my wife. So, she takes it. I'm not doing too good on my jokes this week, am I? I'll say, Rosie, take this letter of dictation down for me, and I'll dictate a letter. I'll say, send that letter out. Well, that's exactly what God said. He told those 40 authors, sit down. I'm gonna dictate you. You just, even though you won't even understand some of the things you're going to write, you're not even going to understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just write it down as I tell you. And that's how you got your Bible. God spoke through the Holy Spirit, and the men wrote it down as God gave it to them. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, But holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, this is all God. God's signature's on it. He wrote the whole Bible. Oh, he used men to pen it, but God wrote it. Can anyone say amen? By the way, he said prophecy came in not in the old time of by the will of men. See, the prophecy, it came in the old time. Didn't come in the old time by men. It came by godly men who God spoke to. But what I'm going to make a point here in just a minute. It came in the old time. Years ago. See, nowadays you got all kinds of new stuff on the market. Well, this one fellow, he just said he found something. He says, I've got a new revelation. And Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and he didn't die on the cross. And what do they call that? There's a name. It just came up. Yeah, the Gucci. The Da Vinci Code. Yeah, the Da Vinci Code. It's a nicer man, but he's a stupid. He ate too much of spaghetti and the meatballs. You see, God gave us a book from Genesis to Revelation. The Genesis means book of beginning. And Revelation means its end. It's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in Revelation, that's when Christ is going to be revealed. There's no other scriptures. God only wrote one book. Don't be taken in with all these shysters and people of cunning craft that try to deceive you and to weaken your faith. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I'm amazed. And they've got this computer code and all this other junk. You know, listen to me. People need to study their Bible. I'm going to tell you right now. Look at there in Timothy. Look what the scripture's good for. It's good for doctrine. People need to know doctrine. I teach the book of Romans. Five major doctrines taught in the book of Romans. Five major, there's other doctrines, but there's five major doctrines that I teach. The doctrine of condemnation, how all men are sinners, how all men are condemned because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The doctrine of justification talks about the blood atonement, how Jesus had to shed his blood and for our sins. And when we receive his atonement, when we receive him, then we're justified. When we put our faith in the Son of God who God gave for us to be our provision for our sins, then we trust him by faith. Then we're justified. That's the word. That's the doctrine of justification. God sees us just as though we're never in the lost fallen race of Adam. Amen? Then the doctrine of sanctification, how we're set apart. How we're put in Christ and set apart. And then the doctrine of glory. We're going to shine as the stars. Right? Glorification, not glory. It's not going to be glory. Dr. John Brooke always said, make that a long O, Mr. Skyver. Glow. You're going to be glorified. One day we're going to get brand new bodies. I'm going to tell you, Arlene, I can't wait till he comes. I really need one. I spent over 2 days, literally, on that field this last week, beating those poles in. You know, it's been a long time since preachers beat poles in. I'm going to tell you right now, Bengay, domes, aspirin, I've been taking everything this week. You know what? I need a new body. After that workout, the next one, the deacons are knocking in. Amen? And Bobby, don't rip your finger up. I need you to pound the pegs in. Doctrine. Glorification. Consecration. How we need to be consecrated unto the service of God. It's our reasonable service. Oh, the doctrine. Listen, the reason people get messed up today and taken is because they don't know doctrine. Ephesians 3:14 says that you be no longer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's the trouble with America today. They don't read their Bible. They don't know their Bible. And so when these charlatans come, Brother Marty, they say, man, could that be possible? They're working on a thing on Mars now. I don't care what they find on Mars. I know who my Creator is. And I know whom I believe in, and I've committed to Him against that day. For reproof. Because God calls sin, sin. People don't like this Bible because it says white's white and black's white. Black's black. White's white and black's black. It says right's right and wrong's wrong. We live in a world today where they want to call wrong right and right wrong. But not the Scripture. It says, oh no, it's not changing. I don't care if you live in 2006. It's still the same. Well, you got to give with the world. No, no. You got to stay with the book. Let the world change. Our God changes not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Then correction. Acts 20:21 says, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That'll give you the correction you need. Repentance and faith in God. Amen? Instruction in righteousness. It teaches us how to live and walk with our Savior. You know, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives and provides us this book, this wonderful, wonderful, precious book for a reason. One, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Even under the simple, the Scripture says in Psalms 119, I think it's verse 130, it shows us that we need a Savior. This book tells you all about a Savior, Jesus Christ. So it shows us we need a Savior. And then after we meet the Savior, it shows us how we can walk with the Savior and please the Savior. Can anyone say amen? Listen to me. The book, you know what this book does? And this is why the world doesn't like it. By the way, Andy, if you and I were writing this book, we wouldn't put God holy on us sinners. Man would have said, everybody's a sinner but me. Hello? It's God's fault, not mine. Just like Adam, he sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Lord said, "Where are you? What are you doing, Adam?" He said, "The woman that you gave me." Adam was already blaming Eve. It just started. He was still blaming her. We're always trying to put the blame on somebody else, aren't we? We just got to look in the mirror. Well, see, this book tells man that he's a sinner. This book tells man that God sent a Savior, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for the sinner. This book tells that Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for the sins of sinners. I'm glad we have a sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This book proclaims a supernatural birth of Jesus being born of a virgin, Mary, and supernatural resurrection from the grave a third day, just like He said He did. Said He would, and He did. You know, Jesus always keeps His word and His promises. And then this book also promises a surprise return of Jesus. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We should all sleep, but be changed in a moment. One day soon, the people aren't going to realize it. It's called, the Christian church calls it the rapture. Thessalonians calls it a mystery. But it could happen while I'm preaching right now. The one day soon, I know we're in the very end time. One day soon, Christ is going to come in the clouds. The trump of God's going to sound. And this book teaches me that the trump, and the Scripture says, we're going to hear, come up hither. And everyone that has faith, that died in faith in Christ and their bodies in the grave, their body's going to go up and meet with their soul and spirit that's already up there. They're going to get a brand new body. Then we which are alive are going to come right up after them. Blink your eyes. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, it's in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Quicker than you can snap your eyes. That's how quick the rapture is going to happen someday. It's called a snatching out, a taking out. Are you with me? It can happen any time. That's why it's important that you must know Christ as your Savior, because if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be left behind. Because only those that are prepared for heaven, because see, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. People just don't go to heaven by accident. They prepare to go. You prepare by making Christ your Savior. And if you're unprepared, you go to hell forever. There is a heaven, there is a hell. That's what the book teaches us. I believe the book. How many believe the book? Well, thank God Jesus is coming back soon. Now notice, are you still in Timothy with me? Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. We're told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I believe when Jesus comes back, because people didn't study their Bible, they're going to be ashamed. I believe that, Brother Jack. I believe people are going to be ashamed because they didn't study. And look, it says, and rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, the reason people get caught up in false teachings. You ever wonder how people get caught up in false teachings? False programs, false churches, false movements, false doctrine, false churches, false Bibles. You ever wonder why people get caught up in that? I mean, some of them are good, real good people. They don't study their Bible. And because they don't study it, they don't have truth for a foundation. And so when the false teachings come, they're swayed. That's why I quoted scripture, Ephesians 3:14 says that we not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by slay of cunning men. America is being deceived today by a lot of false teaching, and a lot of Christians today, because they're not grounded in God's word, they fall for it. Hook, line, and sinkers. You know, when you say the book of Acts, there was a people called the Bereans. You know what the Bereans were known for in the book of Acts? The Bible says when the people preached, they had their book, the Bible, and whatever they said, they made sure it was in the Bible. That's what the Bible says about the Bereans in the book of Acts. It says that they studied the word and made sure that what they preached, that was in the Bible. See, this Da Vinci Code, I'm telling you right now, I guarantee you there's Christians caught up in that. Well, I wonder, really, maybe, you know, he did know Mary Magdalene. He cast devils out of her. She really was the first one to get there and see him. And he said, touch me not, Mary, for a sin. I'm going to tell you right now, if Jesus married Mary Magdalene, if he didn't die on the cross, you and I are still going to hell then. But Jesus didn't marry Mary Magdalene. He did save her from hell. He died for her sins like he died for my sins and your sins. And he didn't stay on the cross. He arose the third day. They put him in the grave, but 3 days later he rose. And by the way, it's a historical fact. It's a historical fact. The history books record Christ risen from the grave. This book records his resurrection. And by the way, it says in Acts 1:3 says he was walked on this earth after resurrection 40 days. Walked on earth after he rose 40 days by many infallible proofs. Acts 1:3. 1 Corinthians 15 said that at one time over 500 people saw Christ at one time after his resurrection. That's why those people were willing, Brother Terry, to die. Many people in the early church was martyred. They were killed. They were tortured for their faith. Listen, those people, they say, deny Christ, deny Christ. Well, go ahead and kill me. I saw him. He's alive. He's risen. I got faith in a real risen Savior. They killed me. They said, go ahead. You can't kill me. Because he lives, I'm going to live forever with him. See, that's why all these off-the-wall false teachers thrive, because Christians don't study their Bible. If there's something I can tell you today, please read your book. Please read this Bible that God gave you. Please study the book. The book. The book, Tommy. People need the book. We talk about eating a lot. I love to eat, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus said this is the manna, the bread from heaven. Jesus was the bread of life. Partake of the bread. Partake of Christ. Oh, you don't eat Christ, but you partake of the truth of him. Because he is the bread of life. He's the manna come down, the scripture says. In John chapter 6. Now notice as we get ready to close here. Look at Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast. How important is this book? Hold fast the form of sound words. How do we see that? Which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Listen. We are told to hold fast his words. If you don't have his words in your heart, how are you going to hold fast to them? God wants his truth to continue on and on and on. And you know, a lot of times preachers, I know you kids think, boy, this preacher really gets worked up sometimes. Because here's the thing, Andy, I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And my job is to pass. See, my job is to pass this wonderful truth of this book onto this generation. And so sometimes preacher yells and screams and cries and grabs and say, man, you got to get it. You got to get it. You got to get it. Because the world doesn't want this generation. But by the way, if Jesus doesn't come back, this is the generation that will save America. They're worth an investment. See, someone, Tommy, if someone wouldn't hold fast and passed it down to me, I would have never got saved. Thank God, Jimmy, someone held fast and passed it down to you and I. So I'm trying to be a light in a dark world. They keep passing it on. Can anyone say amen? God wants us to continue on passing the truth. Listen, God gave us a perfect book, a pure book, and a preserved book. And I'm closing with these scriptures. Look with me in Psalms chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12. And verse 5 and 6, some of our favorite verses. The words of the Lord. I'm in Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalms 12, 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is God's perfect number. See, your Bible here has been purified. It's perfect. It's perfect. Seven's perfect. God's perfect number. God's saying, you know, this book I gave you, these words are perfect. Not only perfect, look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt, what? Preserve them from this generation forever. Brother Kerry, God said, listen, I promise you and your children, I'm going to not only give you a perfect Bible, I'm going to preserve it forever. Anyway, some people say, well, I know in the original it was pure. Duh. You mean your God's not big enough? You mean we have a big enough God to give us a perfect Bible but not preserve it? And by the way, this is not an original. This is just copies that was passed down. But God kept it preserved. The originals, They were on special paper, and they're long gone. Hello? But God, see, look, how big, Myrtle, how big a God would you have if he recorded his Bible and couldn't preserve it? He's preserved it. It's right here. It's this book in my hand. Can anyone say amen? And so, God preserved his book. Look at this last scripture in Psalms. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. See, I don't doubt God's word. God don't tell us. All we got to do is believe it. Well, I think there's a better rendering. Listen, there's no better rendering than what God says. God's word is pure. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield in them to put their trust in him. Watch, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Brother Kerry, there's a lot of people who want to think there's all these PhDs and think they're smarter than God, so they got to correct the Bible. Oh, better this, and better this, and better this, and I'm giving you a new version, new this. No, God says don't add or take away. This Bible ain't lying. You're lying. Hey, Da Vinci Code, you're lying. Hey, NSB, you're lying. Hey, Living Letters, you're lying. Hey, NIV, KEY, MOUSE, you're lying. Hey, Computer Bible, you're lying. Touch not, touch not, touch not my Bible. Add thou not unto his words, lest he repute thee, and thou, see, the Bible's not a liar, thou be found a liar.
Hey, Da Vinci Code liar. You know your Bible. You tell that guy with preaching Da Vinci Code. Liar, liar, liar. You say, wow. We need to get some backbone in us. Because I'm going to tell you, the closer we get to Jesus, the more they're going to try to deceive you and tell you you can't believe this Bible. I'm telling you, God's got a Bible you can believe. No, I got to quit. There's still stuff there. I'll quote it to you. Let's look at how important this Bible is. John 5:39. Jesus said, you can go with me. I'll quote you turn. John 5:39, Jesus told those Jewish Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures, this book. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they, the scriptures, are they that testify of me. He said, study the Bible. Study this book. They'll tell you about me, about Jesus. John 17:17 said, God said to Jesus, sanctify them with thy truth. 17:17 to John, thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. It was not anything was made that was not made, but that was made by Him. Jesus was the Creator. John 1:1-3. The Word, that word, WWRD, it's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. And every time it refers to Christ. See, what I'm closing. I'm getting really close there now. I'm trying to. It's 12 o'clock. See, the Word and Jesus, they go hand in hand. You can't separate them. Oh, I know this Bible, but Jesus is different, but they go hand in hand. They go with each other. Jesus is the Word. And the Word speaks about Christ. Are you with me? Look at one last scripture. I have to read it to you. Look at Romans 15:4. One of my favorite books. I had to have Romans get the final thought, Andy. Romans 15:4. If you haven't taken my Romans class, I hope you can get it before the rapture. Might be it. You might have to do it to get to heaven. No, I'm just kidding you. For Romans 15:4 says this, for whatsoever things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do you have comfort today? Do you have hope? I'm not worried about dying and going to hell. I've got comfort over that. I realized one day that Christ was my sin bearer, that He died on the cross for me and I was going to hell. But I realized if I took Him and appropriated what He did for me to my life and said, God, I'm going to trust You as my Savior. I believe that You died for me. I believe You rose. And I believe You're the Savior of the world. And I want You as my Savior. And I ask Him to come my life. Bam! I passed from death unto life, John 5:24. And I escaped the wrath of God, John 3:36. Can anyone say amen? And now I know I'm saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. I wrote to a young man that came here on Easter. He goes to school with Jordan. I sent him an email this week and said, he told me how Mel actually witnessed to him. After Mel witnessed to him, he got the boy under conviction. And the boy actually asked Christ to save him, young Danny. And I wrote back to Danny. I said, Danny, if you really meant business with God, God saved you. You can know for sure you're saved. He gets here. I'm going to talk to him, take him out to breakfast and Cracker Barrel and give him a 7 steps of joy and try to mentor him and try to encourage him. Amen? And so we find that this book was written to give us comfort and to give us understanding and to show us the way.
And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, I'll quote this last verse. For some reason, the Lord put it in my heart. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of troubled hearts in this crazy world today. If I didn't know Christ, I'd be terrified. Because this world, I'm telling you folks, this world's ready to rat on roll. But it might be ready for the greatest earthquake and shaking you ever know, but I'm on a rock. I'm on the solid rock of Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and he did. And if I go, and he did, I will come again. Hallelujah. I believe it. Jimmy, I know he's just on that one scripture. I know he's coming back. And you can take that to the bank. He's coming back because of John 14:3. He said, if I go, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whew. Man, I can't wait. He's coming and I'm ready. He's coming whether you're ready or not.
Because the book said it.
Well, I don't believe the book.
Doesn't change it. Still true.
I'm glad God gave me a book. I'm glad next week I'll preach on the blood, how that atoning blood for us. And a couple weeks later I'll preach on our blessed hope about heaven. How many are glad you got a book from God? Oh, thank God for that wonderful Bible he's given us. These holy scriptures, they're holy. We need to put them in our heart. We need to study it. So when the world, with all their craftiness, like Satan slid and crafted and tricked Eve, that we don't get tricked into it. That we stand and say, oh no, that's not true. I know the doctrine of that. That goes, see, God never goes contrary to his book. Anything that goes contrary to this book, the kids we do, we zonk. Anything goes against this Bible, God says, zonk, you're out. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for a perfect book, a preserved book, a pure book, a book that provides and shows us eternal life through a Savior named Jesus Christ. A book that brings us comfort and joy and promise of eternal life. Mansions in heaven, new bodies, live forever. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more death. Hallelujah. A book that tells us there's a better place. We've got a better time coming. A greater future. A book that tells us that there was a Savior that loved us so much. The Son of God. That he's willing to come and shed his blood and die on Calvary's cross and the third day raised from the grave. Just so we could have eternal life through him. I wonder with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure there was a time that I saw myself a lost sinner. I saw myself going to hell, and I realized that Christ was the only way I could be saved from hell, and I realized that I needed Christ to get me to heaven, and I've asked Jesus to come to my heart and be my Savior. Could you raise your hand? I'm sure I'm saved. I've asked Christ to save me. Could you say, I know that with an uplifted hand? Thank you. You may put him down. Would there be anyone say, Preacher? And be honest with yourself and honest with God. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just put your hand up and put it back down. I'll pray. I won't come embarrass you. I will pray for you. Preacher, would you include me in that prayer? I'm really not sure. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about being baptized, because being baptized won't get you to church, won't get you to heaven. Being a member of a church won't get you to heaven. Being a great person won't get you to heaven. Buying Girl Scout cookies won't get you to heaven. Having a clean life won't get you to heaven. You know, all that and not get to heaven. It's only by Jesus Christ, faith in the Son of God, that's how you get to heaven. Tommy mentioned Thursday how Moses, after the people got bit by snakes in Numbers 21, that they raised a brazen pole and he said, look up, look up. All they had to do was look up, and those that looked up lived. Christ was raised up on a cross called Calvary, Golgotha Hill, the place of a skull. And God says, all you have to do to get to heaven is to look up to him. Look up to Jesus Christ. Look up to Christ. The book says, believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The book will point you to Jesus. Father, thank you for the time we've had. We pray that you'll bless everyone here today. If there'd be one here or one by way of the internet that listens to this message, I pray if they've never asked Christ in their heart, that they do it right now. This very moment, they wouldn't put it off. Pray that they'd stop and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior. Lord, I would to God they'd do it right now. Make their choice for Christ and make their choice from heaven. Make their choice that this book is true. And it's all about Christ, the Son of God, for their life. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now. Whatever how God would speak to you, come.